Okay, hey everyone. Welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. It probably hasn't been that long since you heard our last episode, but I'm Jonathan Metz, your first-time host of Radio Free Nintendo, and we have a special episode here. I have three other old-school guys from Planet GameCube, and we're going to be talking briefly about our history with the website, kind of give a little bit of retrospective on ourselves and the site. And then we're going to segue that into the future of the site, because this episode, this podcast, will be your the exclusive unveiling of the new website name for, well, the name of our new website, which will be the successor to PlanetGameCube.com. So hopefully we have a lot of first-time listeners who are eager to hear the name and are listening to this, and I'll just say that the format is going to be slightly different this time. Normally we have some kind of current topic that we discuss. So if you are a first-time listener and you enjoy the way this goes, please check out our other episodes, because we have a lot more contemporary content rather than just us waxing poetic about the good old days of the website. All right. So first I want to start off by introducing the people we have here. We have Steven Rodriguez, a.k.a. Windy Man, who is our newly crowned site director.
Hello, world.
My old job, as Bill Maher likes to say. And we have Dan Bloodworth, who is our content editor.
Hey, hey. How's it going?
And we have Michael Cole, who is our IT director.
Oh, boy.
And our and our incredibly enthusiastic trivia guy also. Okay. So let's start off with talking about how did we find the site? Not how you were hired, but like, when did you first stumble upon the site? Do you have any story about how that happened or what you were doing in the early days of when you first arrived at Planet GameCube? Windy, can you start us off with that?
Yeah, back in the dark ages of the internet, say 1999, I was looking around trying to get up any information I could about the newly announced Dolphin project from Nintendo, and I was just going to every single site I could find. I didn't really care what it looked like or what information was on it. I didn't even really care if it had all those stupid made up rumor, this is what the Dolphin could look like images. I just wanted anything I could find. And I eventually settled on two or three favorites. One of them was Dolphin Cove, Fran Mirabella's Dolphin Cove. Another one was Nintendo Nation, a site I, back then it was called Nintendo Next, the site I eventually worked on. I'll get to that a little later. And also Planet N2000. Of those, I have to admit, Planet N2000 wasn't my favorite. I didn't really like the design of it, but but I eventually it grew on me. Yeah, so I eventually, after my time at Nintendo Next, I came over to Planet N, but I'll get into that a little bit later.
All right. So Dan, how did you find the site?
I think I found out about it back when IGN was, it was about the same time, around 99, and IGN, I guess, had, was linking all kinds of different sites back then, you know, that had information on Dolphin, and one of those was for Operation N2000, which I think was Justin's site, right?
Yeah.
And so I really got into their kind of mailbag treatments and their forums there, and really experienced a lot of intelligent discussion there for the first time. And when Justin closed that down and merged it over with Billy's site, that's when I started reading over here.
All right, and 2IP?
I guess my story isn't all that different. I think I discovered the internet about the same time as I started discovering Nintendo sites, because naturally, I'll go on the internet, that's what I'm going to be looking at. So, for a little while, I was going to the Nintendo chat room back when it was a big thing, but I slowly kind of got fed up with it, and I started checking out other websites, you know, fan sites and IGN. And I think Dan said, you know, there was the affiliates program going on, and I found a lot of sites there, and I started doing the mailbag, and I guess a lot of my questions were pretty decent, so I got my questions got published quite frequently in whatever over the big ones like Tendo Box there, and I guess Nintendojo and Nintendo Nation, of course. And Mac, well, I'll get into how I got hired later, but that's pretty much how I learned about Planet N2000.
Well, I'll briefly say that the way I found the site is actually once again through IGN, actually, back when Planet N 2000 was an IGN affiliate. This would have been back in like 99 and 2000. I arrived at the site a couple times through links that I found there. The IGN, I think, used to have like a daily affiliate of the day or something like that, and sometimes when their affiliates would run an interesting story, they would actually like run the story verbatim on IGN, but it would have some of the logos and things from the affiliate site. And that's kind of how I first became acquainted with the site, although I was not a regular visitor to it until I met Billy at E3 2000. And I had, when he mentioned the site that he worked for, I vaguely recognized it from having been to it once or twice, but I didn't actually start visiting it and really seeing what it was all about until that summer after I met him. And that segues nicely into the stories of how we were hired. For me personally, I met Billy, saw his site. I was looking at a few different sites that I was interested in working for and had decided to kind of put myself out on the market. And because of E3, I had met a lot of people, and I knew there were people interested in hiring me because of what I had done at The Informant, which was my old site that I started. So I ended up having basically outstanding offers to join two or three different sites, most of which are no longer existing, but I ended up choosing Planet N 2000. So that's how I was hired. Actually was hired on the site maybe 3 months after I first really started visiting it. Dan, can you I especially like the way you were hired, Dan, because I remember this.
Yeah, so I was just a reader, basically, and I was pretty active in the forums, and there's a transition in the site that didn't allow us to have TalkBack posted automatically because we had to move over to Easy Boards for bandwidth concerns. And considering my favorite part of the forums was talking about the news, I volunteered to start just posting all of the news articles into the forums manually. And I did that for a while, and I guess Rick just recognized my dedication and decided to ask me to come on staff, and he brought it up in a meeting, and apparently everyone unanimously voted to have me come on staff without even having any clue whether I could write anything, and not knowing my background of writing reviews in newspaper a few years before that. So that's when I came on, and then several months later, Billy and Johnny asked me to come up as an editor.
And Wendy, how did you get hired?
Well, like I said, between Planet N and Dolphin Cove and Nintendo Next, I favored Nintendo Next back in 99. And I eventually gained favor with the site's webmaster, and he hired me on to do the mailbag, which at the time was updated infrequently, and it was in really bad shape. So I kind of gained my name for myself by updating the mailbag every single day, and I did that.
Oh, Andy!
Quiet, you. And I did that for about a year straight, which, looking back, I can't believe I did that. And so after doing that, Nintendo Nation got caught up in the eFront scandal. Mr. Sam Jane screwed a bunch of websites out of a lot of money. Our site, something awful, got caught up in that too. We didn't get out of that, so we had to close down the site. And I took refuge over at Planet N because I really didn't have anywhere else to go to get Dolphin info. And at the time, Planet N was become one of the bigger sites. Operation 2000 closed down.
And I think Dolphin Cove closed down about that time.
Yeah,
as well.
Dolphin Cove closed down when a friend went over to IGN. So it was really Planet N was the only place. So I kind of holed up in the chat room, and Billy kind of knew me because NN and Planet N kind of had a feud going on.
That's I was mostly with the webmaster of Nintendo Nation.
Yeah, it was a little rivalry going on between the sites. So Billy knew who I was, and after hanging around the site long enough, I kind of convinced Billy to say, "Hey, Billy, I can help you out." And so one day he called me up and offered me a job on the site, and it took a little convincing on my part, but he eventually, hired me on. And what is it, 2002, a couple months before E3, 2002, I started with the staff, A couple years later, I got named news editor, and just this month, I was officially named director of the site.
Not bad. And 2IP?
Yeah. As I mentioned before, I was a big member of the mailbag racket, and I was a frequent user of Windy Man.
Yes, so, I answered many of his questions, some of which I have in my possession still on my hard drive.
Oh, please don't pull those up right now, please.
I can blackmail you, by the way. Just
that's right, you can blackmail me.
Yes.
basically what happened was Max Lake from Planet Game, or Planet N2000 actually at the time, right? He approached me via email, says, hey, you know, I like some of the stuff you've been asking. Would you mind writing something for us? And so I wrote something up. I don't remember. It was probably some editorial or review, and I don't think we ever really used it. But he said, you know, this looks pretty good. We want you to go to this event for us. That was at USC, Information Age, I think it was. It was at USC. It was kind of christening USC's new school of video game design type thing, if you guys remember that. And so my first day on the job, I was interviewing Hal Barwood. The review is pretty embarrassing nowadays, but I interviewed Hal Barwood and met Ken Lobb, who was showing the Space World video. So, good times.
I seem to remember that not long after you were hired, you went to the Pokemon Spelling Bee and met.
Yes, that was the following summer.
I remember that.
And I was actually nauseous that day. I was actually nauseous that day, so I wasn't sure if I was going
to
make it, but I made it.
Is Ben Stein really that boring?
That's right, yeah. You met Ben Stein. I met Ben Stein. He was
wow.
He actually wasn't all that nice to me, to be frank. He probably didn't realize I was a reporter or something. I don't know. But it was fun in kind of a kooky way. So cause for a while, I was the only guy at PGC on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I went to these kind of things. So
I seem to remember you telling him that you wrote about GameCube, and he asked, can you play EverQuest on that?
I'm not sure that was me, but that's a funny story.
I could have sworn you said that. Yeah, because it was Ben Stein. I remember just thinking how bizarre it was that Ben Stein was an EverQuest guy. Or at least he knew about it.
Right.
Was interested in it. Anyway, now I want to ask, and starting with you, 2IP, do you have any specific brief memories of working on the site, or how would you characterize the way the site has been the past few years?
Besides the kooky events that we just mentioned,
yeah.
I think PGC is very interesting that it's kind of a both a meeting and clash of personalities. I mean, I remember my first E3. It was E3 2001, I guess, and I met Billy. He went to the Ye Olde Comfort Inn, and I drove up there, and we played some GBA. It was before GBA had come out here in the States, I believe. I'd imported it. And we went and we revealed the logo of GameCube before E3 by hunting around. And, you know, I'm all nervous and like, we aren't supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be here. He's like, dude, just calm down and just sort of pretend like you're supposed to be here. And so we just sort of strolled in, took some pictures, strolled out. And I think Billy was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, for about 2 hours after we had pulled that off. So I think that kind of epitomizes Planet GameCube for me, that kind of those kinds of excursions.
And Wendy, wasn't it you who discovered the DS logo a few years later?
Yeah, wasn't that 2003?
2004.
It was
the year the DS came out.
Yeah,
happy 2004. We were upstairs at the LA Convention Center, and Nintendo had a meeting room up there, and people were still getting things set up. And so I kind of looked around, nobody was looking, so I just kind of walked right in and looked out the window down into the show floor, and there was the Nintendo DS logo, so I just maxed my camera zoom all the way and snapped a picture, bam, we got the logo up for anybody else. So that was a good moment, but I have to say my most memorable, all my moments from PGC came during the E3. I mean, how could they not? My first E3 was 2002. And I remember how everybody was just saying, well, you know, your first E3, it's going to kick your ass. You know, you're going to be so tired when you come off of it. And when I went through E3, I was like, well, this isn't a big deal. What's the big deal about E3? It's just a bunch of walking around and playing games. And then for whatever reason, the next year, it like caught up to me and it kicked my ass twice as much as anybody else, any other E3 did. I remember the second day I got out of bed and I fell to the floor because I had this giant cramp in my left leg, so I had to kind of crawl into the shower. And then in 2004, as I was walking around, I started developing this blister on my foot.
Ooh.
And it was kind of squishing. Ugh. As I was walking around, and then I got that extra big squish on one step when it broke open.
Yeah, let's... No, we're going to edit this story out.
Okay.
That's disgusting.
Well, it's my memorable moment.
Well, actually, I just wanted to say, your story about, and in fact, both of you guys, kind of sneaking into E3, getting into places you're not supposed to be, and taking secret photographs and things. For anybody who says what we do is not journalism, take that. I mean, we may not do journalism on a daily basis, but every now and then when we get the opportunity, we go for it. And it pays off.
Of it.
Both of those stories were huge for us. Huge.
Yep.
So, Dan, do you have any comments on the past 4 or 5 years of working at PGC?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of think more on like the daily grind, you know, just like how much like your mind is. You know, you get home and you get on the internet and your mind is on PGC. You know, I wake up in the morning and before I head out to work, I'm looking for news and I'm looking to see what's going on with the site and shopping around and sending all that stuff out to the staff as quick as I can. And then as an editor, it's just been, you know, really rewarding to see how people have, you know, everyone's writing and stuff has grown, especially as, you know, guys like Obi, Mike Sklens, you know, I mean, he was still in high school when I first started editing him, and then as he
and
was going...
as well.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And they went through college, and you just saw their writing improve the whole time. And that was pretty cool. And as far as E3 goes, it was always just funny how I became kind of like the default host, since I'm right down the road from the you know, in the first year, you know, that I'm on staff, you know, it's like, okay, you're planning all the entertainment, and I found this place right by where I work, or where I worked at the time, and you know, that had Japanese food and karaoke
and alcohol,
and,
naturally.
And so we went there. And everybody's loved it so much that we've gone there every year since.
Every single year.
And then after I got a car, you know, I became the full PGT caravan as well.
Of course, we pretty much always have to have more than one caravan, though, because we have so many people who go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you definitely help out there. TYP and Wendy have also been caravanners, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, the Plumbermobile.
Wendy Mobile.
Two
different ones.
As some people call it.
That's right. You have to be brave to join me for a ride.
Yeah, TYP is very much a visceral driver. I'll say that.
Well,
it's exciting. It is exciting to ride.
Especially when I was younger, I really was not used to driving in the city. So, one, driving in the city, and two, having a full car with people talking and laughing and trying to distract the driver. I got kind of scared and nervous, and things weren't always so pretty in my car. So, let's leave with that.
Yeah. That was some thrills and chills. Well, I would say I kind of echo Dan's comment about, to me, a lot of the memory for me has been in the daily workings of the site, which I find so fascinating, and also in the progression of the site. To me, it's really cool to go back and look at the archives of stuff that we did back in 2000 when I first joined, and watching how things change and change so much over the years. And they were natural. They weren't like somebody went out and said, "Okay, we're gonna overhaul this. We're gonna do things differently." It was all very organic and very cooperative because we had people working together. Nobody's getting paid to do this, and it was kind of just a pool of ideas, and we tried different things, and some of them didn't work out and some of them did, and over time we just kind of refine things and get it down into a way that we like it. And even today, I think there are more new ideas going into the site today than there ever have been.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that's really exciting for me because I love the idea. I love the policy making. I love the gathering of minds that we have, especially among the senior staff, where we get together and we hash out the details of, you know, do we want to change this? Like, you know, what are the benefits? What are the problems we're going to run into? It's fascinating. And developing the new site, which I guess we'll probably get into a little bit later, has been a really good example of that because you have people from all over the country trying to get together and talk about these things. And just the simple act of communicating sometimes it becomes a real challenge because things get twisted around and it's very difficult. But to see a single amazing result come out of this almost United Nations style democracy that we have where people get together and they throw ideas out there and they argue over them and they work at it until something comes out. And what I find is that over the years, over and over and over again, we almost every single time that we go through this process, we end up with something that everybody is really happy with.
Yep.
Nobody's perfectly happy with it, but everybody's really happy with it. And that really speaks to the maturity of the people that we have working here and the intelligence and the creativity of the people we have working here. It's pretty amazing. And to me, that's one of the great things about PGC. That's one thing that I'll always cherish about the time that I have spent here and will spend here for the foreseeable future. And now that we've reminisced about the old site, Wendy, do you want to kind of take the plunge here and reveal the big secret about what our new site's going
to
be?
I would be honored to, good sir. So I'm sure all of our new listeners and even some of our longtime listeners through Radio Free Nintendo have been very curious about what we're going to rename the new site. We've said for the longest time that we were not going to rename the site Planet Wii. So stop asking. We spent a very good deal of time discussing different candidates for what we would rename the site. We had a lot of different ideas. We whittled down to a small list. We whittled down to a smaller list. And then we whittled it down to three. We eventually settled on one, and I am very pleased to announce to the world that Planet GameCube is now known as Nintendo World Report. And that's NintendoWorldReport.com.
Or .net.
Or .net. But we're .com.
Yeah. Use .net, come on.
WR for sheezy. So, Dan, this name was originally your proposal. It spent months in the candidate list before we finally got around to choosing it. Can you explain what inspired you for the name and why you think it's a good name and what you argued? Actually, I think at the meeting where we ultimately decided, you couldn't even attend that night. So
right.
you didn't exactly... well, I guess that speaks to the strength of it, that you didn't even have to be there
to stump for it.
Yeah, it kind of stood up for itself. But can you explain what was your thinking when you came up with this name?
Well, we were going through different criteria in our meetings, and we were trying to, you know, think of something that would be, you know, all-encompassing, continuing on the path of what we've been doing, but we wanted something that sounded a little bit more professional, and we wanted something that wasn't platform-specific, which was really important. So I actually brainstormed a whole list of things, and I had a bunch of different alternatives of it. You know, I had global instead of world, and I think I had digest instead of report. And so it was just a matter of, I think, you know, people narrowing it down to the one that fit. But, you know, it's specific enough to Nintendo to say that, you know, we only cover Nintendo, but not platform specific, so we don't get stuck in that rut again and have to change in another 5 years. And you know, rather than continuing on with Planet, we just went with World, and then Report, you know, again, is just kind of a more newsy feel to it, and it covers all the different content that we have.
Yeah, and I think one of the early criticisms of these names were that they were longer than a lot of the other suggestions, but when we looked at it, we realized that it's not really any longer than the current name of the site that we have, so, and it's easily acronymed, right, to NWR.
sense.
Right.
Right, right.
So, 2IP, about a year ago, I asked you to be placed in charge of this project of redesigning the site. This was this really was almost independent of the name of the site until the late stages. And it was something I had been trying to do myself for about a year before that and had gotten nowhere because I just didn't have time to focus on it, and I didn't have the technical expertise to really get the proper people together and make it work, because I couldn't manage the project because I didn't understand it enough on a technical level. So, and I thought you were the perfect person. As it turned out, you were absolutely the perfect person to do this. And could you explain to the listeners how the site kind of came to be from that point when you were placed in charge of it?
I had a little bit of free time on my hands, so I I looked at the current site, and my background in HTML isn't all that strong, but I knew that we needed to kind of overhaul some of the database type stuff, both from a literal, you know, how things are stored, and from a back end for use. And so I spent maybe 4 months reworking the back end of the website, and then as our loyal readers may remember, I was able to add a few little features like the sorting and the filtering. I guess the sorting was already there, maybe, but the filtering wasn't. So you can, you know, filter by whatever, released or unreleased, or by system. And so that was kind of phase one of the project, was kind of get some of the back end finished. And then I kind of handed it over to Brendan Gallagher, who knew more about Cascading style sheets and the like. So he took our old HTML layout and kind of reinvented that. And he did a great job there. It loaded a lot faster, and I think the readers were happy with that. And then, you know, came to the site.
I remember reading in the forums there was a lot of people noticed just suddenly one day, hey, the site's loading a lot faster. And I remember going in there and saying, yeah, that's not a coincidence. We've had Brennan's done a really nice job on that. But that was there was another reason why we switched to CSS, right? Because it would make it easier to update all the art and everything, supposedly. Right.
I'm not sure exactly how much that has really affected things, but it's definitely it's definitely a cleaner way of implementing a website, and kind of the industry standard now to do that instead of using like tables and inline styling and the like, you know. So after that, came time, you know, we have to design the new website for, you know, Nintendo World Report. And to be honest, things kind of started off fairly slowly, because we needed to figure out what direction we wanted to take this, and we really needed to get our artist, Ryan.
Ryan Jones.
Well, we also, I mean, you had trouble because we hadn't had a chance to really decide on a name yet, right?
That's part of it, too. That's right. We didn't want to get too far down the line until we knew kind of our inspiration in terms of the name, especially Ryan. Ryan was really wanted to have a good feel for what this site should look like before it did anything. And we respected that. We really did our best to get it, but there were some hurdles there too. But he's done a lot of work, and he's done a great job incorporating a new look while still making it feel like PGC. It's not going to be completely new to everyone when they see it, but at the same time, it is new. And I think it's a really nice balance between what PGC was and is, I guess, and kind of Nintendo's new look. And I think it just looks real nice and is well put together.
Do you two other guys have anything else to say about the new design? Dan, you haven't even really seen it very much, have you?
I saw it a little bit the other day. So again, yeah, it's a very clean look. I think it'll be a little surprising to people, and it'll take a bit to get used to. But everything is there and easy to find, and you know, when you're on a game, you can just really quickly browse over to screenshots or whatever, and you don't have to browse away from a page just to look at one screen either. So there's a lot of nice implementations there.
Wendy, you were kind of brought into the design process of the new site fairly late, because I didn't do that until I decided that you were going to be director, and we had already started on the project. So what did you think of it when you saw it?
Well, even before I saw it, I've had these ideas for the site that I've been kicking around, and when I got the opportunity to be director, I realized, hey, I can get these ideas on the site now, so this is going to be awesome, this is going to work out. And a lot of my ideas did make it through to the new site. If you guys will have it up very soon after you hear this, you'll notice, especially the front page, just the organization of the headlines, or there's more information and less space, which makes things a lot easier for people who may not visit every day. What's wrong with you people? Visit every day. We've also, you know, like Dan said, we made the game profile pages a lot more easier to navigate. But we totally ripped off the Wii, and that's a good thing.
No. Well, Nintendo DS has a similar. I mean, Nintendo's new look is just, you know, clean like.
Well, I mean, okay, the DS Lite and the Wii.
Right.
You know, the idea for the direction of the, basically the theme of the look of the website, came from Ryan's Radio Free Nintendo logo. Actually, it's a nice tie-in with the podcast. It was over the summer, and when he made the logo, I guess Evan and Obi asked him to make a logo for the podcast they could put in the news articles, and I saw that and I thought, I really like the look of it. It wasn't just like a ripoff of the Wii style or anything like that, but it was definitely in the same region as that. And I asked him if he could kind of keep that in mind when he started coming up with concepts for the new site. Not necessarily the same colors, but the same design philosophy. And he totally did. And actually what he ended up with is very close to what I was thinking of when I first suggested that to him. And Ryan is a very gifted guy. We're lucky to have
him.
He's done an amazing job.
Yeah, and I have to say, it was great that during the initial design of the website, a lot of our ideas, my ideas and Ryan's ideas, kind of clicked together. So there wasn't much clashing, and, you know, we wanted it one way for one reason, and he wanted it a way for pretty much the same reason. So there wasn't much fighting in how we wanted to get the final design of the site put together. His first design is pretty much what the final design of the site is. So we were really lucky to have quite a smart gentleman designing our website. So thank you, Ryan.
Right, that's Ryan Jones.
Yes.
Ryan's actually a professional web designer. So it's kind of amazing that the quality and the amount of work that he put into this, which is on the same level as what he does in his job. And so there you go. anything else anybody wants to say about the new site before we kind of wrap this up and let people eagerly await the next few hours until it goes live?
Yeah, first thing you guys do when you get your Wii, before you put in Zelda, hop on your little Opera web browser and check us out on your Wii. That'll be cool.
Yes, that would be cool. Do we even know if it's compatible with Opera? Have we tried it?
Let's edit that question out.
All right. Well, this has been your special report of Radio Free Nintendo. I hope you guys like the new website name. And if you don't, I don't even want to hear about it. But
everybody got over the Wii name, so this website name is not going to be an issue.
Well, you know, when we were going through the process of choosing a name, the bulk of the process was after Wii was announced.
Okay.
And I made it very clear at the time I was in charge of this of the process, and I made it clear that we did not want to fall in the same trap that Nintendo did when they chose this ridiculous made up word for their console. And I think we did a good job of that. I think, you know, my problem with Wii is that when people look at it, there is reasoning for it, but in order to really understand where the name came from, it requires some extensive explanation. I wanted our new name to be evident right from the start. Just makes sense. When people read it, they may not love it at first, but they're not going to have to be. They're not going to have to go through this period of acclimation, you know, with the Wii. They're not going to, hopefully nobody's going to read this and be like, well, screw that, I'm just going to keep calling it Planet GameCube.
If you want to, that's fine, but
The old address will still work.
Yes.
But it's going to send you to Nintendo World Report.
Yes.
All right, guys.
It's our new name and our new home, so update your bookmarks and your RSS feed and I guess the wallpaper you've printed out and pasted to your wall because you love us that much.
We'll get Ryan working right on that.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, and guys at home, thanks for listening. And as always, if you have any comments about this podcast or any other, please send it to rfn@planetgamecube.com. And very soon, that address will still function for a while, but very soon we'll have a new address for Nintendo World Report, and I'm pretty sure it will be rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, but that may not be functioning by the time you hear this. So you can also hit us up in the TalkBack and review us on iTunes and all that jazz. So thanks for listening, and enjoy the new site and your week this weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let me get my radio voice going. It's a me. Okay.